Good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you and to have the opportunity to worship together. And we are blessed today by those that have been added to our community. And we hope that you will make plans to be added to our congregation, to our church family. We're delighted to have you. And as has been mentioned already, we look forward not only to our students that are here today, but additional students that will be here 1 week from today in tremendous numbers. And we're grateful for that opportunity to serve them. This is a very special day in the life of our congregation. Today represents the last day that you have the opportunity to fill out a form to nominate elders to serve, possible candidates for elders to serve for the days and the years to come. And as we think about that, that form is available in the information desk, the welcome desk, out in the foyer. That will go through this evening's service, and we pray that you'll continue to pray about this process that our elders have been going through for several weeks now, prayed a great deal about it, and you have given consideration to it, and we want to continue to do that. We've had lessons in recent weeks on the qualification of elders, which is appropriate, again, to be reminded of before we add new elders. Today we want to pay tribute to the 10 men and to their families who have been serving, in some cases, practically almost a quarter of a century, and then there are some that are years less than that. We're so grateful to you. We're so grateful to this group, and we want to recognize them in just a few moments. But this text from 1 Thessalonians 5 that Brother Milton has read also carries the idea of appreciate, recognize, appreciate those who lead you, those who have charge over you. It is the highest office, as you know, in the church that is not given to someone who just simply is interested in leading, but who first of all has proven to be a servant at the highest level. That is from those group of servants that eventually leaders are chosen, and that is so appropriate. While it is the highest office and the one that carries with it, and rightfully so, the greatest honor, it is also the hardest. From time to time, as I have the opportunity to visit various places, and will be introduced to someone who may have just assumed the reins of becoming an elder or has been serving for a year, I ask them what they have learned, and there is a pretty consensus response. They basically said, I had no idea. And I think that's exactly true of the 10 men who serve us at the present time. They all had interest and desire in serving, but they really had no idea of all that is involved in this task. Whenever you're in a leadership position, no matter what it is, there is honor associated with it, but there is also tremendous responsibility and difficulty. By the way, the background has been wondered by you, I am sure, because I've had different responses of those who've seen it in advance. It is an elder's conference room, okay? It is not a river. It is not a road. It is not this aisle in the middle of the pews. It is a conference table around which elders like ours sit hours at a time, pray sometimes for the entire time that they meet, either 3:30 in the afternoon or 7:30 in the morning, about half of the year. And that's what the background is. Here's a quotation that goes all the way back to the life of Publius Syrus, an early Latin writer before the Lord came to the earth, who made the observation, and I really like it, anyone can hold the helm when the sea is calm. Where leadership is demanded and where leadership is required is when the sea is not just calm, but when the sea is anything but calm. And you think about those who serve us in various roles, whether it be in our families, whether it be in business or in government, whether it be in academic and athletic programs, whatever it might be, right here in the church, we have an example of those who lead not just when the sea is calm. In fact, one of their tasks is to try to keep the sea as calm as possible, but the devil is very much at work. And even when we do the very best that we can do, that is, as members of the Lord's family, we will all admit there is so much room for improvement, there is so much room for growth, and there is a group that we look to help us in that growth and in that improvement. Very quickly, I want us to look at the why of appreciation that is mentioned in verse 12 of our text. By inspiration of God, Paul says we are to appreciate our elders who diligently labor among you. The original text does not suggest those who are lazy. The text suggests those who are weary, those who are tired, those who are exhausted as a result of the work that they do that carry the burden of leadership. It is not an honorary position. It is a hard-working position. And those who seek to this level of leadership in the Lord's church are those who must be willing to give everything they've got physically and mentally and socially and especially spiritually. So diligently labor. Those who have charge over you. God in His wisdom has entrusted that not just one man, not one person, would be over the work of a congregation. It is the eldership. And the eldership as a group has been given rule, has been given authority, has been given oversight, especially in terms of practical matters that have to go on with the day-to-day life of the church. Now, that also includes, of course, the fact that they are to be responsible for the truth, leading us in the truth. And so as we think about that, we have the additional information here, they who give you instruction. In other words, it is their task, their responsibility to be sure that the gospel and the gospel alone is what is taught and is what is learned within the confines of this building, in every place, in the pulpit, in every classroom, all the way down to Cradle Row and to our senior saints. And so this is a tremendous responsibility. Sometimes that is the pleasure of teaching, but sometimes that is the task of correction. And sometimes it is even the greater task of practicing discipline. And when those things happen, you really do not want to be a part of that. I'm just talking about naturally our human feelings toward others. We don't want to be a part of that. Someone has to be a part of that. And the elders have taken on that particular task as well, not only to instruct, but also to correct, even to the point of discipline for the salvation of our souls. If you look at verse 13, we find, secondly, the way of expressing our appreciation. Paul says that we are to esteem our elders highly. This word esteem has to do with think of them, regard the burden that they have been given, consider the vastness of the task, and then in particular, there is the word respect. And I appreciate the fact that Sean included in his prayer a few moments ago the petition that the Lord would help all of us, from the youngest to the oldest, to respect our brothers and their families who are trying to serve faithfully in these roles. They would be the first to admit to you, in all humility, they are not perfect. None of us are, only the Lord is. But they're striving to do their best in leading us in a closer relationship with the Lord. When Paul says very highly, it means to the highest degree. I mean, who do you think more of than the elders in the church? The church is the greatest institution in all of the world. Those who lead in the church and who do so faithfully, who do so effectively, are due the highest honor by those who follow. And that is to say, they're shepherds and we are sheep. And the selection of them includes our own involvement. And then I'd like for you to think for a moment about the expression, you esteem them highly in love. I think about abuse that elders take from time to time. And you know, you might be frustrated about something, you might be irritated about something, and you leave the building, you leave the worship, and you make some cutting remark to an elder. Again, that's part of the burden of a leadership. You may have no idea about the impact of such a comment in terms of feelings and how that can be carried from that time forward. Now, there are times that perhaps comments like that may need to be made, but let's be careful. Let's be careful lest we live in violation of a very clear teaching here concerning love them because of their work. I want you to think about the following things. Just a very quick list. Following things that I have observed, and you have too, that elders are responsible for, what is involved in the work of the eldership. Every soul in the congregation. Prepare and manage a congregational budget that we are blessed here that runs into the hundreds of thousands of dollars each year, and they know where every penny goes. Those who sign banknotes whenever money has to be borrowed, like in the construction of this beautiful facility. All of us are involved in paying for it, but there are names on the loan that belong to these men rather than to you and me. That is to be very deeply appreciated. They hire and unfortunately have to fire, on occasion, all personnel within a congregation. They oversee every single program of the church, although without you, there would be no programs for them to oversee. They include the selection of mission points, and not only mission points, but the missionaries that are going to be serving in those areas. They maintain and upkeep the building and all church properties. You and I may not even know what all the church possesses. We think about the present building, but there could be land also that has been given to the church by those who've gone before us that has to be managed, that has to be taken care of. To be certain the truth is taught in every situation, they know the truth when they hear it, and they also know error when they hear it. And when there is error, it must be dealt with immediately. In following the model of the church in Jerusalem, they are responsible for evangelism, for education, for benevolence, and for church discipline. All of this, in addition to, they are growing in the role of serving as an elder. They constantly put their lives out there for people to view. After you read the list of qualifications in Titus 1, 1 Timothy 3, they put their lives out there for open view for all the rest of us to see how they're doing. And we need to appreciate and we need to esteem, as Paul, by inspiration of God, mentions. This is but a brief list. And I'm sure that if one of them was asked to make a list, it would include much, much more. But that's just to give you an idea. Now, the what of appreciation. You notice that emphasis there on living in peace before we leave the way. That is such an important ingredient. Have you noticed that there are some congregations that seem to have a legacy of peace? And then there are congregations that cannot get along. Maybe you have known of some in the past. The Henderson congregation has enjoyed, for the most part, a legacy of peace from the time that it began. That does not happen by accident. That happens with strong, determined, dedicated leadership. It also comes as a result of respectful fellowship. But as we think of the what of appreciation, here are suggestions. Before I ask these men to come before you, and by the way, I have not sought their permission to do this. I am seeking forgiveness because they're humble men. But before I call them down before you, I want to express the what of appreciation. May I encourage you to love them for their diligent work most of which is behind the scenes that we do not see. Let us listen to their instruction and their counsel, because they're men of wisdom. There is significance to the Lord setting aside those who are older among the brethren who serve in these roles, although some may, because of their spiritual maturity, be selected rather young. They're growing in the faith, and we listen to their instruction and we counsel them, and every one of them will say to you, if you have a problem, please bring it to our attention. If you have a concern, if you have a need, please bring it to our attention. Do not let us be ignorant of what is going on in your life. Let us learn from their good and godly examples, and let us lean on their strength that comes from the Lord. They're men of the Word. They're men of prayer. They are men of devotion. May I ask our 10 elders to come down, and I've asked them to line up in front of the congregation. And there are some things that I want to say to them. May I ask the elders to come on down to the front? I told you I haven't asked permission for this, but there are things that I want to say in behalf of you as a church family, as we celebrate not only the elders who are currently serving and in some cases have served for decades, but as we prayerfully think about those who are going to join this group and continue to lead us in the days and the years to come. Now, because there are 10, I'm going to say five things on behalf of the congregation, and I'm going to do this in couplets, okay? Two elders at a time. So, Brother Larry Gillum here. Brother Larry, I want to say to you and to Brother Keith on behalf of the congregation, we thank you for, first of all, being servants. Because if you had not been serving the Lord and the church, you would never have been asked to serve in this particular role. Brother David, on behalf of the congregation, and Brother Gary, on behalf of the congregation, I want to thank all of you for being spiritual leaders, not just leaders, but being spiritual leaders. Thank you for thinking 24/7 of our souls, of our needs. It's an unbelievable task. I don't know of another like it in all the world. Thank you. Brother Larry, to you and to Brother Mike, we as a church family say thank you for your families. Thank you for your wives. Thank you for your children. Thank you for the sacrifice that they have made, because you're away from them untold number of times. You can be called, again, 24/7. You respond 24/7. And thank you for them, for leading them, and also for their working with you. Brother Charlie, Brother Ron, in fact, Brother Charlie, Brother Ron, and Brother John over here have the longest tenure in the eldership. We want to say that it is our intent to be grateful from this time forward even more for your encouragement. You encourage us. You give us courage transfusions. And we know that when we have need, that we can come to you. We know that because you've demonstrated it. Brother Barry, Brother John, what we commit to you is that we are praying for you. And we're going to pray now, as has been prayed already, but we're praying for you. We're praying for your health. We're praying for your wisdom. We're praying for your continued desire, all of you, to continue to serve as you're able, as long as the Lord will allow you. We want to say thank you and that you're in our hearts and our prayers. Okay. Make me return. Let's pause for a word of prayer together. Father, we do indeed thank you so very much for this group of 10 brothers who lead us, who encourage us, who strengthen us, and who also, when needed, correct us. And we pray that you will bless them. Thank you for what they've already accomplished. Thank you for what they have the ability to accomplish in terms of leading us in your behalf at this very special place. We pray, Father, for not only them, but again for their families, especially their wives, who carry this burden with them and who support them. And we thank you for that to the depth of our being. Father, thank you for entrusting to congregations your work throughout all the world. Bless us as we expand the borders of your kingdom in Henderson and Chester County and West Tennessee, throughout America and especially throughout the world. We're thankful for the task of leadership, and we're also grateful for being asked to do so. Father, we also pray that you'll bless us as a congregation, that we will esteem these men highly, that we will love them for their work, and that we will be regular in expressing our appreciation, and that they will be mentioned in our prayers always. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being a part of somewhat an unusual worship service, but we wanted to, again, express to our present group, even while we're praying and thinking, and some of the men of this congregation know that they're being considered for this very urgent and important role, and thank you for your participation. Today we sing a song of encouragement to encourage anyone who has not yet put on the Lord in baptism to do so before our worship service is over today. What a fitting climax to worship it always is when someone is added to the body of Christ. We sang a few moments ago, there's a royal banner that is for display, and that is we're carrying that banner as we wear the name of Christ, but we must be baptized into Christ in order to be a part of that great effort. So as we repent of sin and confess our faith in him, we're expressing our belief that, yes, he is the Christ, the only Son of the living God. Could be that there is a need for someone to come home today and to ask prayers of the church. And again, it is highly significant that with every invitation that is extended at the Henderson Church, there is one of our elders standing down here representing the whole to welcome you for whatever your need may be. And that will be the case now as we stand and as we sit.